Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together into your presence to hear your word. We pray that as we rest in your presence, you work by your Spirit, remove distractions from our hearts and minds, and let us rest in the promises that you have given us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As they were talking about these things, it's always fun when you start in the middle of something that's going on, isn't it? Well, see, two disciples had just left, and they were leaving Jerusalem, and they were walking on their way to Emmaus. They were heading out on this road, and a stranger walked up amongst them and just started seeing how life was going. How are you doing? Well, okay. Confused, but okay. I said, confused? Confused about what? Well, you know, of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus who? He said, do you know nothing? Nothing of the events of the past week? Nothing of the events of the past 3 days? Jesus, who said that he would die and rise again, well, they crucified him. But now some are saying that he's walking around, that the tomb is empty, and we don't know what to make of this. So he starts to talk to them. And ask questions. Lead them through all of the scriptures. They make their way down their road, and he's going to carry on, and they say, come eat with us. And he sits, and he breaks bread, and their eyes are open, and they realize it was Jesus the entire time. And they run back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. This is on the day of the resurrection. Can you imagine the excitement of the disciples in this moment? Mary and one of the other Marys and another Mary. There were a lot of Marys. All the Marys had gone down to the tomb, and it was empty, and then they leave, and they go back and tell the disciples, and John and Peter run to the tomb, and it's empty, and they leave not knowing what to do, and these other two disciples are walking away trying to figure it out, and then by the afternoon, they gather together, and they're in the upper room. They're all gathered together in one place with the doors locked and the windows shut, and Jesus shows up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the doors of this place being locked? You know there's no way in, no way out, which is kind of what it feels like in the middle of a sermon sometimes. And Jesus just shows up right in the middle of everything. It'd be amazing. Be great, my job's done. He's taken over. It'd be awesome. But these guys come running back to tell the disciples all the things that they just knew. And you can imagine the disciples saying, no, you sure? You sure it wasn't just a ghost you saw? Jesus plants himself right in the middle of them. Here I am, peace to you. Stop being afraid. Why do doubts arise in your heart? Here I am. Look, see. Me. Touch my hand. Hold it. Watch, I'll even eat fish. Right? What an amazing thing for everything to happen exactly like Jesus said. And then he opened their minds. To understand the scriptures, that everything about the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, and how it was fulfilled in him. Such beautiful words from our gospel writer, Luke, who wasn't there, right? And Matthew was there, John was there, Mark might have been, we're not quite sure, but Luke wasn't there. But he was a historian, he was a doctor. He wanted to give a detailed account of things. That's how he starts off his gospel. And then the Acts reading, that was Luke also talking about the early church, dutifully writing down what the disciples who were there had told him and how Mary had shared with him all these things. You see, they were Jesus' witnesses. They were the ones that saw him, that felt his hands, that held his hands in the resurrection, to know that he was alive, that word of God had shaped them so perfectly and wonderfully. But they knew that wherever God would take them, they had to share that word. No matter what life would bring to them, they had to share that word. No matter what their days looked like, it was that word that would shape them. That word that would give them joy when they rose in the morning. That word that would give them hope when they're being martyred. That word that in the midst of every footstep of life would guide them and lead them. It's the same word you've got. I know we listen to a whole lot of other words more often than not, and we have a whole lot of other things that roll through our heads, our own reason and everything else, and all these other words that come about in life tend to shape us in a particular way. They can shape us on the political spectrum, they can shape us on the moral spectrum, they can shape us in all kinds of different ways when we listen to all those different words that are out there, and man, some of those words sound good. Because those words flow from a sinful desire a lot of times. Whether it's ours or somebody else's, and we cling to those words because they make us feel good about ourselves. Justify us in the things that we want to do. Things that are enjoyable. Well, self-serving enjoyable anyway. See, those words are words that can be comforting in the short term, but they don't really have any longevity to them. In fact, they just kind of help in the moment, maybe, and they hurt in the long run. And there's nothing in God's word that actually says that those are good words. In fact, I mean, we read throughout the New Testament how hearts are just filled with a sinful desire, and then all of the sinful thoughts come from the desirous hearts of man, and that's not a good source for the words that would shape our lives. But can you imagine what it would have been like trying to ponder all these things, figure out the days of life there with Jesus possibly being risen, and these two disciples walking along and they hear this wonderful Bible study from Jesus, this wonderful account of him and how all of Scripture pointed to him, how all of his words, all of God's words that were handed down pointed to this one guy, and that what he did actually happened and meant something. The excitement they would have carried back to the other disciples who would have longed for that same opportunity to hear from Jesus himself, from his lips, his voice, his words, to show them how all of Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms would have pointed to him. And then they got that opportunity again. What a wonderful moment to be able to sit in, to hear the word of God from God himself. You know, you actually have that same opportunity. May not be from Jesus in your presence in the flesh, but it's certainly Jesus in your presence by his word. I think of all of the authors in the New Testament, shaped by that word, Paul and Peter and James and all the guys that would write down the scriptures for us, who were the witnesses of the event or spoke to the witnesses of the event, would be able to share that word. And as Jesus would speak through them for you, you would be able to hear that very word and how all of the law and the prophets and the Psalms pointed to Jesus. And how that promise was absolutely fulfilled in Christ. That's the word you get in the New Testament. That's the word you get from the authors there. That's the word you get that God himself worked through them so that you would know exactly how Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise made in the Garden of Eden. And how God works by his hand to make you his witnesses now. Ones who have heard the word, ones that have seen him work, ones that have felt that forgiveness and know that his word is true. You get to be shaped by that word. You get to carry that word in wherever God takes you. In the living room, in the marketplace, wherever it may be, where God carries you in life, whatever skill sets he's given you to use, wherever he sends you, you get to be shaped by that word, just like Luke was when he heard it and wrote it down so that we would have it and know it. As Jesus works through his church and through his people for the good of all the folks that are around them, just as they were the witnesses of Jesus standing there in front of them, you get to be the witnesses of what Jesus has done in your life and what he has done for all of creation, to point others to Jesus. What a beautiful gift to carry, to know that all things have been taken care of for you between you and the Father, that your sins are absolutely forgiven on account of Christ, that just like he said he would raise from the dead, he did. And it was true and it was real and people saw it and there was no mystery in their minds at all, though in that moment they may have had doubts and were marveling for joy, he says, look, this is real. I am real, and I am here for you, so that you would know that everything I said is true, so that you would know your sins are forgiven, so that you would know that you have life in my name. The very author of life who conquered death for you and gives you his word to shape your life, so that you would know of all the good that God has done for you in Christ as you live each day as his witness where he takes you. Amen. You pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done to make us yours. We thank you for shaping our lives by your word so that our eyes would be focused upon you and your work accomplished for us on the cross through your Son, that in his death and in his resurrection, we see that your words are true, trustworthy, and nothing can change them. Pray that you would continue to keep our eyes focused on his promise to come again, where we would see life into eternity in your presence. And we thank you for counting us as yours on account of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.